The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Budget 2025 will be delivered tomorrow amid continued speculation about a potential early general election. Ivan Yates, broadcaster and multiple podcaster, joins me now. Ivan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, tell me how Budget 2025 intersects with the date of the general election.
Well, first of all, you know the song, Money Can't Buy You Love? Well, we're going to find out if money can buy you votes. Because what lies ahead is truly gigantic. Not only are they going to give away, in annual budget terms, $10 billion, but they have three separate, so that's in tax and welfare and public sector spending, all across the normal thing. They have three other bazookas lined up. The first is the sale of AIB shares, $3 billion. You're going to see announcements in relation to allocation for sanitary services and other infrastructure funds. You're going to hear about the National Training Fund that has a surplus of $2 billion. And then the biggest bazooka of all, the Apple funds. As we saw from the white paper published over the weekend, they thought they could put the $14 billion into 2 years' accounts, but it has to go into this year's exchequer accounts. So those three funds will be deployed, as well as, because they have a surplus now of $25 billion. So over the weekend, the three party leaders met yesterday evening with the three line ministers, Pascal Donoghue, the Minister for Finance, and the Minister for Social Welfare, Heather Humphreys. So they finally agreed. There was a disagreement about the cost of living package. Would it be $1.5 billion? That's been raised to $2 billion. And there was also an issue of whether they'd have a universal welfare increase of €12 across the board, including job seekers and pensioners and carers and everybody, or give job seekers less. And I think they've resolved those difficulties. So what you're going to see now is an absolute full-on spin. And it just doesn't get any better than this. My as regards the election timing, Pat, I've heard so many different rumours, the RDS being booked on the 8th, which is a Friday of November, for count purposes, with an election on the Thursday, the 7th. I think that's the earliest date.
But is that the likely, given the American general election? And I know it doesn't interfere with ours particularly, but you kind of, if there's a big drama in the United States, it kind of takes the shine off whatever's happening here.
Yes, and a slightly later date for Dáil dissolution allows more loose ends to be tied up. My personal idea of the latest date and the most likely date is Friday the 22nd of November, including the reason you've just said. So I think in all circumstances they've decided, or Simon Harris has been persuaded, that he'll have to get his candidate selection problems, which are multiple on the ground, sorted out by then. And, you know, he's going to get to go to Washington, which is another box ticked between now and then. But I think the prospect, the last three general elections passed, 2011, the government got kiboshed, that was Fianna Fáil. 2016, Joan Burton's Labour in government got kiboshed. And the last time in 2020, Fine Gael got kiboshed. All were February elections. Mm. The electoral mood in February, there's something about it. People are very sour. It's cold. It's miserable. People don't want to answer their doors. And I think that logic has shifted Harris's position to go for a November election.
Now, I was speculating that the reason he was so bent on keeping the election until the new year was those problems with getting candidates and building up some sort of public profile for them before the election. And a couple of extra months might do that for those candidates. Otherwise, they're kind of running on brand Fine Gael or brand Simon Harris.
Yeah, Fine Gael's problem is they have 17 incumbent TDs not standing. So take Mayo as a good example. So the two Fine Gael seats, which they would be delighted to hold on to, would be Alan Dillon, junior minister, and Michael Ring. Michael Ring has supported the candidacy of a lady called Ciara Keogh in Westport, his backdoor area. She couldn't get elected to the council. So Fine Gael headquarters, as well as Alan Dillon, are going to end up probably running four candidates. That gives you some idea of the sort of disorder they have. The truth is, in fairness to Harris, nothing was done before last April in relation to election preparation. And they've had to start at this very late. And then you have just in the last fortnight, Damien English in Meath West deciding not to run. His PA is running instead. But this is not what they would have wanted. And, you know, the local elections had to be got out of the way. But I would say that as regards the largest party in the next Dáil, that Fianna Fáil are maybe not as high in the national polls and certainly not as high in Dublin, but their ground war of councillors and strong candidates is much superior. And it's reckoned that 50% of all votes, this is where polls are misleading, you don't vote for a generic party, you actually vote for an individual. Yeah. 50% of your choice is for that individual.
Now, the question of budget spending, how sensible have they been, if that word doesn't seem to mock the very idea of what's going on in this budget? How sensible have they been in terms of the one-off payments which don't recur and therefore are not an ongoing burden? But I'm looking at things that will recur, like social welfare payments. If you give renters credit, give a thing and take it back, you know, very difficult to do. So there are certain things they are doing, changing the tax bans, always a very unpopular thing to try and claw that money back elsewhere. So how sensible have they been in that sense, giving little goodies that people will feel before Christmas but don't recur?
Well, in terms of the overall sort of fiscal disciplinary line, you know, Martin and Harris can turn around and say to John Hogan, Sec-Gen in Finance, or John Calman, Sec-Gen in the Department of the Taoiseach, or David Maloney, Sec-Gen in Deeper, look at Saturday night. Mary Lou promised no one would pay childcare more than 10 euros a day. They promised that no one would pay USC under 45 grand, and the carer's allowance wouldn't be means tested, all of which are permanent changes. So what they're going to say is, OK, you may not like what we're doing, splurging all this cash, but would you like to have the shinners in? This is money well spent politically. That's the sense I'm getting of it. And also, some of these surplus figures are off the charts in terms of, like, even if you look across Europe, there's nobody running surpluses like this. And I just want to say this, Pat, on a more cautionary note. All of the what will now be, if you add together the whole surplus of the 25 billion surplus of this year's accounts, about 35 billion of that is coming from the tech giants. And I chaired a conference, the CIF annual conference last week, and it was absolutely incredible the change that's taken place. This decision of no electricity for data centres has meant that Amazon, who've been here for 20 years, have invested 20 billion all around Dublin, Blanchardstown and different sites, have now decided not to spend 1 euro of 38 billion of their next 10-year pipeline of investment in Ireland. They are going and they're getting open arms. We'll get your data centres in Italy and Spain. The particular executive was flying off to Saragossa that day, last Tuesday. And I honestly believe we will look back at all this a bit like 2007, that this money, this surplus, this spending is all coming from tech giants. And if they can't get the power required, and you'd know this, the power required for a Google search relative to a Gen AI search is 8 times more electricity. And if they can't get the power, if they can't get the data centres, and there's a government policy that they can't and won't, Google were refused in the Grange Business Park in South Dublin, planning permission on the grounds that there was no electricity.
And they're challenging that, aren't they? They are a legal challenge on that.
But the point is this, the policy is clear, and the government's perspective is that data centre consumption of power have gone up from 4% to 21%, and it's heading for 50%. But you can't have it both ways. No data centres, a lot of this CPT money that is paying for everything, and is just a gusher. Like I'd say, by the time the end of December comes, it'll be over 30 billion this year, leaving aside the Apple money. That is this the year, 24, 25, that the worm will turn, because state aid rules are changing across Europe in terms of what other governments can do. They do not enjoy our success. They envy our success, and they want to get that investment, and we are in jeopardy.
Now, what about the people who are doing the thinking behind the scenes or on the government around the cabinet table? Surely they can see all of this. you know, the self-inflicted wounds, like the passenger cap in Dublin Airport, self-inflicted wound. Cap on data centres, self-inflicted wound. Is there nobody saying, hang on a second?
Well, you're absolutely right. These capacity restraints won't affect this year's budget, but will affect future years' budget. I think what they're saying is they're blaming it all on Eamon Ryan, and they're saying, well, you know, he's not going to be around. The Greens aren't going to be in the next government. We will fix this when we get the next government. And sorry, all of these splurges of money are nothing to what you'll see in the manifestos, which are coming just down the track. So I think this is, you know, if you look at competitiveness reports and so on, the biggest constraint in Ireland is our failure to deliver infrastructure. Just take, in 2014, AirGrid published a document called Grid 2025, and it set out a nationwide program of GridLink, North-South Interconnector, and Grid West. None of it. The Celtic Connector has been built. None of the other has been built. It was due to be built by now. So that is the biggest problem in the electricity failure, as well as other power generation issues. So all of these issues, it seems remote when you talk to politicians. It seems quite distant, but it actually, the chickens will come home to roost quite quickly.
Now, the money that they're going to have from Apple, I don't know when the cheque actually lands in the government account. You say it has to be accrued this year in the accounts, and they're going to make some announcements about spending. I mean, ambition, we're told, is lacking maybe in this government and previous governments and possibly the next government, whatever makeup it has. Is there anybody in there with vision that's going to say, look, this is a once-in-a-lifetime bonanza? Let's do something that will make a difference to Ireland Inc., something dramatic. Is there any kind of blue sky thinking happening?
Well, put it like this. I think the reality is the National Development Plan sounds brilliant. $165 billion is already out of date. Our population growth, you know, on the island by 2041, it looks like over 8 million now. Like, we're actually chasing our tail on some of these issues with the daily issue of the fundamental shortage of housing, and that's feeding into so many areas. But water, the problem of the River Shannon project, the problem of Clonshock, which is the new, because Ringsend is nearly up to capacity for sewage treatment, all of that is greatly behind time. And they are 4 or 5 billion projects each. So throw in Metrolink, there is no shortage, Pat, of things to spend money on that actually are in the pipeline.
All right. So that's probably what they'll be saying, accelerating some of these programs. Now, the question of, and I know you'll be doing a podcast for News Talk about every constituency.
I need to tell you about that, Pat.
Yeah, please
so
do.
They probably didn't tell you. So I don't know how Patricia got me to agree to this. So
well, she's gone. You don't have to do it. She's gone. She's gone to RTE. So you don't have to do it.
It's in writing. So Sean Defoe, the ever industrious political correspondent of the Bauer Group, and I are going to do 43 individual 8 to 10 minute constituency podcasts. And once a week, I'm going to troop into you and give you a summary in real time during the campaign exclusively. And so, like, I have to get my head around 540 candidates. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, you can go side by side, you know, where Fianna Fáil could get 2 seats in Longford West Meath and go next door in Louth and they could end up with no seats.
Yeah.
Fine Gael, the same. They're really strong in some areas. So, and then you can have someone like some new independents who are going to come along the scene. But the big play is that you pick up any four-seater. There are four blocks, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, and the independents. And then the soft left are emerging. So if the Greens go down and Sinn Féin go down, there is actually a pathway for Labour to get 10 seats. It depends. So you could have now in Cork South Central or different constituencies of the soft left, who is the highest between a Green, a Soc Dem and a Labour? And that could vary. But my point is, a bit like Éan O'Riordan, they will transfer to each other and one of them will have enough votes to get elected. To try and identify that candidate, you know, and the other point is there are 14 extra seats on the present all. So it's going up to 174. So basically where I'm sort of standing at the moment is Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, plus or minus 40-ish. Sinn Féin, plus or minus about 30-ish. Independence, plus or minus about 30-ish. And then either the Sock Dems or Labour getting about 10. And within the independents, then, it is really interesting because there are different groups. Some who are interested in being in government, Independent Ireland as a political party, and the regional independents, whereas the rural independents, which were really a fallout of the abortion issue, Matty McGrath, Carol Nolan, and those are less inclined, I think, to go into government. And some of the left-wing independents are less likely to do so. So the first thing we have, how do you get to 90 seats, is the sort of shape of the whole thing. And you can see that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are short. They don't have the Greens. I think they could go as low as 2. So therefore, who will it be? And there's actually quite a lot of suitors out there. I think Labour wants to go into government. So I think...
Should Labour get a black eye every time they go into government? So
they do. And the Greens get a black eye every time they go. But it doesn't stop them, because a lot of people's whole careers is predicated on getting it to go. But all of that, Pat, let's give this health warning, is based on if the local election result and current polls were reflected. In other words, but the local election turnout is 50% and the general election is 65%. The general reflection on that election is that young people and disadvantaged, deprived areas had the lowest turnout. There was something like 70,000 people abroad on the 7th of June. So all these factors, and the Electoral Commission have done quite a lot of work on those who did and didn't vote and so on. So there will be different voters. So what I'm predicting is predicated on our best intel. Nearly always, something comes along. Last time with Sinn Féin, Fine Gael maintained it'll be a Harris zeitgeist. Something comes along that you didn't see, and it develops around the last week of the campaign. Because the other factor, people say, oh, you got this prediction wrong and that prediction wrong. Most of the voters made up their mind in the last 3 days on an exit poll done by the Electoral Commission. So, Pat, if they don't know, it's very hard for me to know.
All right, Ivan. Well, we'll still pay attention to you. And see, you've predicted, I think, it's 4 or 5 different election dates. So you're like the stopped clock. It's right twice a day. So you're going to be able to say, I predicted that date. Valentine's Day it was.
My adamant prediction is that Harris was wrong in saying there'd be a spring election. That, like the actual precise date is a movable feast and hasn't been determined yet. But I've always believed that Fianna Fáil wouldn't allow him to go for a spring election, and that the rest of the Fine Gael party wouldn't allow him to do so either.
All right, Ivan, thank you very much for joining us. Ivan Yates, broadcaster, co-host of the Path to Power podcast. And of course, he'd be doing that regular podcast on each of the constituencies in the run-up to the election, whenever it may be.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.